You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Stephen A., I'm not going to lie. I'm starting to feel bad for Cam. We have 43 total players who have now opted out. 8 of them are on New England and counting. No team has more opt-outs than the Patriots, and Pat safety Devin McCourty not being shy about his feelings towards his employer and their deadlines. Take a listen to this.
I think it's an absolute joke that the NFL is changing the opt-out period, mainly because they don't want to continue to see guys opt out. I'm sure they're shocked about how many guys have opted out. But it's the same thing when we sign a CBA. Sometimes some of those things that we think are good sometimes backfire. You know, we have rookies who are locked in long-term contracts and tagged. You guys don't think we would love to change that about the CBA, but we can't. That's the point of signing an agreement. So I think it's terrible. I think it's BS that the league has changed that date.
All right, Devin McCourty not holding back there. And Lewis, I'm so glad we have you in this segment because obviously you have the perspective of a former player and being in the front office. Do you think Devin was out of line there?
No, I don't feel that he was out of line. Look, this is bigger than football. And we understand as players, if I can put that hat on again, we understand that players that were compensated very well by and large and that, you know, we play a game that is inherently dangerous. We assume a lot of risk as players. I know there's plenty of people out there saying, oh, stop complaining, stop whining. You get paid a king's ransom and play a kid's game. But see, the stakes have been elevated here. The stakes have been elevated. Players now are being forced to make decisions that not only affect them, but infect their loved ones, infect their family members, mothers, grandmothers, children, unborn children, you know, wives who are pregnant and what have you. And one of the first, you know, one of the things that people always say all the time when they're kind of scrutinizing, criticizing players is players need to put family first. Players need to think more about their families than about themselves sometimes because they can be very, very self-centered individuals and really make and ask other people to make sacrifices for them as they're kind of trying to chase greatness. Well, now players are trying to make decisions, consciously trying to make decisions that are not just about them, but about others. And they need time. They need information. They need to really think through some of these decisions. And there should be no scenario where that timetable for them to make these decisions is artificially sped up on them and reduced to the point where they're not able to really make informed decisions after they have had some time to be in the facilities, actually participating in meetings, in walkthroughs, in practices, in treatment, in meetings. How are you gonna get your food? How are you gonna get treatment? How are you gonna practice? How are you gonna meet? You know, and once you're in that regimen, they need to see that. They need to see what kind of procedures and protocols are actually in place so from which they can make an informed decision that not only affects them, but affects their family. Because you can't have it both ways when you're scrutinizing players, okay? You can't say these are some of the most self-centered, you know, whiny crybabies and they're making all this money. And then at the same time say, well, these players need to be more family-centric and need to look out for their loved ones more so instead of them always just chasing greatness and chasing the next contract and chasing the next endorsement. It has to be something that is fair and equitable, especially when you're talking about the lives of not only your players, your employees, but their extended families. And I think you're, you know, I really do commend the players who are taking a very informed, well thought out, reasonable approach to deciding whether or not playing this year is good for them and good for their families. I really do commend them. I really do applaud them because it's got to be tough. Look, Dante Hightower is leaving a lot of money on the table. I don't care how much money he's made. $8 million is a lot of money to leave on the table. Okay, it doesn't matter to me. I mean, those are big decisions. So for order for you to walk away from that, you really have to be thinking much bigger picture than just yourself, which quite honestly, you know, professional athletes don't always do because it is hard to chase greatness and think about everything else going on around you. But these players are doing that right now. Give them time to do that. Allow them the chance to make informed decisions. And you know what? They will make decisions that benefit the teams in the league in the long run, as long as you are doing everything you can on the team side of things to make sure that they are taken care of, that you have really done everything in your power to make sure these guys are safe. And they still know they're going to take some risks. They still know it. They still know that look, I talk to trainers all the time in the league. They're some of my best friends.
Well,
they're like, look, Lewis, the virus is here. We know it's here. We know it's around. We can't see it. And the guys are still willing to take that risk. So just give them the time is all I'm saying, Stephen A. Give them the time to make and if you agreed on a certain time frame, then stick to it.
Lewis, I respectfully disagree with you, bro. And I respectfully disagree with you in part because of the things that you have served to teach me about the NFL and your years playing in it and obviously just being an executive in it. You've religiously highlighted the importance of coming to training camp, having that time to prepare for a season. You've talked about how grueling a season is, how complicated it is. This is not a simplistic sport. The work that goes in, not just physically, but emotionally and mentally. So what is the NFL saying? We've got a season scheduled to start September 10th. It's August 3rd, bro. We got 5 weeks before the NFL season begins. And so when the NFL is sitting there and saying to you, excuse me, we want to move things up or what have you. Yes, players are dropping out like flies. You've got 8 players on the New England Patriots that have opted out of the 2020 season. But essentially what you're doing is trying to prevent yourself from being in a position where dudes have all of this time to take their time to make a decision, and then at the last minute, they can come and drop the bomb on you. You know what? We're not going to play. And the NFL is trying to avoid that. I respect that. And I think there comes a point in time where, again, we go back to everybody being an adult here. What my disagreement with McCourty is ripping the NFL. The NFL deserves to be ripped. If the NFL knows exactly what's going on and don't put forth their due diligence to prepare. The fact of the matter is, this nation hasn't been prepared. Every single place you turn, you've lamented this, Lewis. I have. All of us on the national airwaves and beyond, we've lamented the fact that this nation still hasn't gotten our feet up under this. Every day, every week, every month, there seems to be something new. So the NFL is just as clueless as a lot of other people. We've got the NBA in their bubble with a players association that worked in concert with the commissioner's office and the league office, and they created this bubble in Orlando, Florida. But they got 450 players. We got a situation where NFL, once you got the 53-man roster, you've got 1,696 players and a bevy of other coaches and team personnel that far exceeds the number that exists with the NBA. So as a result, when you're talking about a bubble, think about this for a second. We could sit up there and put these players in a bubble. I tell you what you could do, Lewis. Excuse me. Those NFL facilities that you all don't want to be lumped in the same place because there's so many of us, the camps that you show up to for training camp, you stay there for the entire season. Oh, by the way, it's going to involve a sacrifice. You can't be with your family, or if they're going to have a visit, they've got to get tested. There's only X number of people that go. You can come up with plans. What's the problem? You know you're going to face strong resistance. Because the one thing these players keep saying, Lewis, and I'll let you chime in here, the one thing they keep saying that they don't take into consideration enough, they keep talking about the safety of your family. Well, if you worried about the safety of your family, why would you be worried about them unless you're going to be around them? If you were not going to be around them, there wouldn't be anything to worry about. Now, that's an incredible, incredible sacrifice, and we all get that. I've got a sister, Molly. Molly knows this. I've got a sister that's been battling, you know, kidney failure for years. She's on dialysis. Mm-hmm. Guess what? I call her all the time. I might go see her once a week, but guess what I'm doing? I'm way away from her. Why? Because I don't want to get her sick. You see what I'm saying? So the point that I'm trying to make is that these are sacrifices. These are decisions. These guys are acting like, oh, my goodness, we don't know what's going on or what we're going to do. No, the reality is there are decisions that you could make, but you don't want to make that sacrifice. It's totally understandable because it's a lot to ask for people to be away from their family and loved ones, etc. But the bottom line is you do know wear a mask, engage in social distancing. It's just that you don't want to do that when it comes to your own family. Yeah. And that's really what's going on here. And that's a tough position for the league to be in. So I don't understand how players act like they don't know that when clearly all of us do.
Yeah, Stephen, I agree with many of the points you just made. And don't get me wrong. Look, I'm not saying that the opt-out period should be indefinite. There has to be a cutoff point, but just stick to what was agreed to, okay? Don't speed it up on them. Just leave it where it was. Give them the information. Make sure that from a team perspective, your plan is in place. And look, they're communicating to the players that, look, there's no way we can protect you 100%. We'll do everything we can on our part. Here's the time frame with which you need to make your decision. And then after that, we're rolling. You're right. Because at some point, if you are going to play the season, you're right. You have to have some kind of structure to it. There is some training period time, some training camp time that is absolutely necessary if you're going to put the games on. And you're also right with this. You're also right with this. Players are going to have to make some sacrifices. There's going to have to be some out of the ordinary sacrifices made on the part of all of us in order to get through this. Players in the NFL and society overall. And you're right. Many people haven't been willing to make that sacrifice, but they're going to be the first ones going, man, why is this still going on? Why is this disease still spreading like wildfire? And we all know the answer why. So you have to be willing to make some sacrifices, and you have to be willing to accept some risk. And I think the players are willing to do that. I'm just saying, don't condense the time on them. Keep it as it was. And I think you will see that many players, by and large, are going to be willing to accept that risk.
And I'm saying that in light of what you just highlighted, you highlighted how complicated it is. So why are you just going to rip the NFL? I'm talking about McCourty here. You're just going to rip the NFL when everybody is up in the air and everybody is lost as to what definitively is the right thing to do to move forward. These are uncharted waters, man. All of us are clueless to some degree. Outside of wearing our mask and keeping our distance, we don't know what the hell to do from day to day. He has to know that because that's a smart brother. Come on, man. You know that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'll leave you with this. 70% of the league is African American. Black Americans are 2.5 times more likely to die than their white counterparts from COVID-19. This is very serious stuff. People should be able to take their time and do their due diligence. We're talking about their lives, and they don't have a bubble. And to your point, Stephen A., we need to all wear a mask. It is not debatable. Wear a mask, stay away,
wash your hands.
It's very simple. We could be in a much better position globally if everybody would wear their mask. I don't know why that is up for
Molly
debate.
Molly and Lewis. Yeah. Hey, Molly and Lewis. Yo, y'all don't want people in y'all face anyway. Social distancing is no problem for me whatsoever. I don't want anybody in my face to begin
me
with.
Neither.
It's a very easy thing to do. It's very 6 feet apart. Absolutely.
100%.
What is the problem?
100%.
I'm with you.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
So the NBA forced Heat star Jimmy Butler to switch jerseys before the game against the Nuggets. This was on Saturday after Butler wore a jersey without a name on the back. The NBA's reasoning was that having no name or message on the back of the jersey was not on the list of acceptable social justice messages put out by the league. Here's what Butler had to say about the jersey swap.
Before tip-off, you came out wearing a jersey that didn't have any name on the back. It didn't have a social justice message on the back. You came out to center court, then you went back and put on the jersey that you're wearing now. Explain why you did that.
Because I'm no different than anybody else. Just because, you know, I'm in the league, my name's on the back of my jersey. When I'm driving my car, I'm an African-American male as well. And that's my message. Like, none of us are any different. And we want to be equal, no matter who you are, no matter where you are. We deserve that.
Jimmy, what was the official explanation you finally got from the league as to why you couldn't wear the nameplate empty on your jersey?
I don't know. I don't care. So I didn't have a name on the back at the start, but I decided to change because my teammates probably needed me a little bit today.
All right, Perk and Jay are back. Stephen A., I'll start with you here. Whose side are you on with this one, the NBA or Butler?
Damn, Molly, it's such a tough question because I want to side with the players so much because I appreciate Jimmy Butler's position so much, but I side with the NBA on this. And the reason why I side with the NBA on this is because the NBA did not fail to talk with anybody and mandate some rule or regulations as it pertains to what acceptable names and slogans would appear on the back of a jersey. The NBA discussed this and negotiated this with Michelle Roberts and the NBA Players Association with Chris Paul as its president. They agreed upon all of this. From what I'm told, Pat Riley was aware of this, Jimmy Butler was aware of this, Michelle Roberts was aware of this, et cetera, et cetera. So we all understand what the rules and regulations are. Why? Because you are doing business. Even though you're playing basketball, you are engaging in business with corporate America. I remember weeks ago, and I said this, Jay and Kendrick, there literally were a couple of players that had proposed during the negotiations, they wanted to have the words F Trump on the back of their jersey. You can't have that. You can't have something like that because, number one, it would be deemed inappropriate by millions upon millions of Americans. Number two, corporate America wouldn't be comfortable with that. And they're the ones that pad your coffers, that assist in you ultimately getting paid the money that you get paid. And I religiously say this to people all the time. You can, and I'm not talking about Jimmy Butler here, who worked, deserves every penny, is an all-star, he's a great dude. I'm not talking about him. I'm just speaking in my general principle. You can't sit there and tell the world, F you, screw you, I don't give a damn what you say, you don't mean nothing, it don't matter to me what you think, it don't matter to me what you say, I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. Oh, by the way, can I have your money? It does not work that way. I'd like it to work that way. We all wish that we had that level of freedom, whether we would choose to exercise it or not. We would love to have that freedom, but we don't. We don't. And if every other player in the bubble complied with the rules and the regulations as it pertains to what you agreed collectively would be allowed on the back of a jersey, and you play for that league, you have to capitulate because it was negotiated and your representation agreed to that. That's the real world. That's how it goes. And I can appreciate where Jimmy Butler's coming from, but he learned a thing or two about the real world because you saw they didn't let him get on that court and they stopped the game until he had on a jersey with at least his name on the back, or if not, it would have been one of those slogans. That's the way it goes. And we have to accept that and pick our battles that are worth fighting.
Essay, that last line said it. We have to pick our battles that are worth fighting. I don't like the fact that the league didn't allow him to do it, but I understand.
Yeah.
But here's also why I think this was a win-win scenario. I say, hear me out on this one, okay? So, yes, there were a whole bunch of slogans and names that were allowed to be put on the back of jerseys, and Adam Silver and the NBA did negotiate that with the NBAPA, okay? I love that we were allowed to do that, that the league has been so flexible and so progressive in the stances that they are taking on national TV during a pandemic when so many social injustices have occurred. They stand for the players. I recognize that. But I still do like the fact that a part of the league is still holding firm to, yes, there are rules in place, and these are things that we have negotiated, and these things that we have to make sure that we mandate. I understand that. But here is the brilliant thing about what just occurred. So even though Jimmy Butler was forced to remove his jersey, there seems to be an interesting compromise here because for that first minute and a half, he did wear a jersey with no name on the back. This did become a very national story. A story in which he was allowed to then have a microphone and articulate his thoughts, which you, me, Perk, we all agree with. I've had a lot of experiences where I've been pulled over. Doesn't matter that I've been on TV. Doesn't matter the success that I had in the NBA or at a collegiate level. I'm just another black man at the end of the day. I understand that. I love that he made that point and that he had a microphone to do so. It may not have the same sustainability of a runway that it could have had throughout the playoffs, but there was that sweet compromise that it did become a story in national news that we're talking about today on the biggest platform there is on our network. We're having a conversation about it. And I do want to give credit to Adam Silver about they could have mandated the fact that he didn't wear the jersey at all. You can't wear it at all. Don't even wear it for the first minute of the game to take it off. But the fact that it seems like there was a sweet compromise, I do just want to give a little bit credit to the league that even though it wasn't negotiated on, having that leeway once again goes to show you how progressive this league is and how they think, and they do allow their players to articulate their voice. I thought this was a win-win for everybody all the way around with it.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
All right, let's continue our earlier conversation here, fellas. The NBA forced Heat star Jimmy Butler to switch jerseys before the game against the Nuggets on Saturday after Butler wore a jersey without a name on the back. The NBA's reasoning was that having no name or message on the back of the jersey was not on the list of acceptable social justice messages put out by the league. J. Will, Kendrick Perkins, back here with us. And before the break, Perk, I'll start with you. We haven't heard from you on this, but both Stephen A. and Jay said that they sided with the NBA, but this was really a tough one for them. Ultimately, it was came down to you have to pick your battles. Perk, where are you on this?
Well, first of all, let me applaud Adam Silver, the NBA, Michelle Roberts, and the Players Association for the great job that they've done for us bringing awareness, making sure that the NBA continue to bring awareness, you know, to what's going on for us in our world today. But I have to side with Jimmy Butler. And I believe that the NBA and the Players Association dropped the ball on this one from the jump. Because once they gave out their list of names and said, either is this list of slogans or you have to wear your name, it should have been that third option or you could leave it blank. And the reason, and I'm 100% behind Jimmy Butler for the reasoning, why the reason that he's doing it. Now, as being a former basketball player, now analyst, I'm a guy that, you know, I'm a celebrity. Stephen A., you're a celebrity. Jay Will, you're a celebrity. Molly, you're a celebrity. You're seen on TV. You go around, people know who you are, right? So I listened to the point where Jay Will was saying how many times he got stopped by the police and this, that, and the other. Well, how many times we all have been in situations and we didn't got out of them because of our name or because who we are? And that's what Jimmy Butler is saying. You take this name off the back of the jersey, Jimmy Butler, the NBA player, I'm just a typical African-American that's dealing with the everyday struggle. But you put Butler on the back of it, I'm privileged. So I'm kind of rolling with Jimmy. I am rolling with Jimmy Butler on this, and I think the NBA should allow him to do it. Like, he's leaving it blank, and he has a great reason behind it. But the NBA has done a great job. But I think they could come together in agreement, and Adam Silver is a players commissioner. So it's nothing but a conversation that needs to be had. But to me, I think Jimmy Butler came up with a brilliant idea, and I support him 100%.
Well, let me tell you why I think that you shouldn't support him 100% in this particular instance, Kendrick Perkins. I totally agree with you in terms of what Jimmy Butler's message was. He's absolutely right, 1,000% right. and I side with him. But you have to prioritize negotiating that at the time the issue is being discussed, as opposed to operating on your own. And I'll take you back, Kendrick Perkins, to your position about Kyrie Irving and Dwight Howard when they didn't want to go into the bubble. You might have disagreed with their decision, but one of the big reasons you disagreed with them was because Kyrie Irving's on the executive committee. Chris Paul and the other dudes are on the phone and on Zoom and all of this stuff negotiating the particulars and the stipulations that come with going into the bubble. And then he went and operated on his own. And when he went and operated on his own and made this declaration about thinking that we should focus more on social justice issues and not necessarily, you know, go about the business of returning to play, you yourself, Kendrick Perkins, went on TV and said, why didn't you bring that up to the cats when they were talking about it? So the point that I'm making is the same thing can be applied to a lesser degree with Jimmy Butler. If that's what's going on at that particular moment in time, all I'm trying to say is that whatever your position is, Jimmy Butler or any other player, the time to handle that was before. Once everything's been agreed upon, then you got to comply with what was agreed upon. That's all I'm saying.
No, but Stephen A., to your point, that wasn't my debate with Kyrie. My argument with Kyrie wasn't that he went separate. That was part of the reason. My thing with Kyrie was, you're saying sit out without a plan. That was my whole reasoning that I went against Kyrie Irving.
No, I'm not saying that that was your debate point.
Now, no,
I'm not saying that was your debate point. I'm saying that was the point you brought up.
But
when you were talking about it, you brought up that point. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree. But listen, what I'm saying is, okay, but things can change in the bubble, right? Like, you can come to the drawing board again. Yeah. It don't have to be something that's just set in stone. Like, we're dealing with a difficult circumstances. We're talking about, like, we're going through things right now I never experienced in my lifetime, far as dealing with the racism and, you know, in social justice and whatever the case may be. So guys need to be able to use their platforms, and we do need their support. So I just know that things can change. Like, you can have a conversation and make adjustments throughout Kendrick. The bubble. Like, you could go back to the wrong
but he didn't have a
round table.
Go. Kendrick.
But I'm saying
you and I were on the phone before we even got
go ahead,
Judge. And I was irate. Yeah, you and I were on the phone before this segment, and I was irate about the fact that the league didn't allow Jimmy Butler to not wear his name on his jersey. And you and I are still on the same page about that. I thought the message that he sent was incredible, right? But there is this damned if you do, damned if you don't moment for Adam Silver in the league. And this is where I agree with Stephen A. Smith on this side. It gets at a certain point, though, that if you're willing to amend what the rules are for Jimmy Butler, then if you're player X or player Z, if you have a statement that you want to make, you need to amend this for me too. It opens up like this black hole to a degree where you just start going down it, and then all of a sudden you start to compromise little things. And I'm not saying those are massive things. I take that little things comment back. Those are massive things, but in the big scheme of things, Adam Silver and company are still worried about pulling these games off in the bubble. They still have other requirements from TV networks, from sponsors, from other players, safety, COVID testing. Think about all the things that they're handling. So if you were to open up Pandora's box here, then that just becomes way bigger within itself. And I think that's within there is the problem. You know, that's the problem.
Well, no, Kendrick and Jay.
Uh-huh.
Kendrick and Jay, may I divulge, now without getting specific, allow me to divulge to people that both of y'all over the course of time have called me to ask for some advice or whatever the case may be about this business. Is it fair to say that?
Right.
Am I speaking out of turn by saying that?
Absolutely.
All right.
No,
what I'm saying is that I bring that up because
why wouldn't I
bring that up because when I negotiate, listen to this, Kendrick, when I negotiate, I take every worst-case scenario I could possibly muster. Because I know that once I agree, I'm stuck. So what I'm saying is, certainly, you can... Listen, y'all both got television contracts. You can't tell me there ain't a day that goes by that you like, damn, I wish I didn't agree to this. Damn, I wish I did this. I wish I did that. I wish I could do this. But I signed on the dotted line. And I gotta capitulate to these stipulations because that's what grown-ups do. And all I'm saying is that you're right, Kendrick. Certainly, it could be a conversation. Certainly, you could talk to Adam Silver in the league. Because from what I heard, they were not happy with Jimmy Butler and what he tried to do, even though I think it's a tremendous message. And they should have, I think they should have let him do it. But in the end, understand in terms of right, where they come in right is we'd agree. There were stipulations. We all knew what they were. And to our knowledge, everybody accepted it. So you can't then turn around and be like, yo, I want to do my own thing. That's not how it works. And that's what we got to remember.
And I agree with you on that point, Stephen A., but I'm saying what we're dealing with right now in the world and what we're dealing with far as with Black Lives Matter and you know, African-Americans losing their lives to police brutality, that's the most important thing more than basketball. Right. So anytime we could go back to the drawing board and figure out different ways or compromise to address that matter, that's bigger than the game of basketball itself. I understand the rules and stipulations, just like right now all three of us are working with ESPN, but right now what we're dealing with, they're allowing us to use our voice on this network to actually say justice for Breonna Taylor, actually say justice for George Floyd. That's all I'm saying, because that's more important than anything right now, than what we're doing. That's more important than us sitting up here debating basketball.
Kendrick, time out. There's a slew of different messages. There's post-game interviews, a very eloquent post-game interview by Russell Westbrook, a very eloquent post-game interview by Kyle Lowry, LeBron James, and others since the season resumed on Thursday. Not only that, when the pandemic hit and thereafter the tragedy, the murder of George Floyd took place in the streets of Minneapolis, Minnesota, the negotiations for the bubble occurred after that. It's not like they negotiated it and then this stuff happened. After it happened, they negotiated it, Kendrick. So if you negotiated it after, knowing all of those things you just said, and an agreement was reached, then you just don't get to do your own thing. You just don't.
I understand.
And the NBA showed them that yesterday by stopping the game and making sure he changed the jersey.
I understand that, but during this time, was it the right thing to do? Because his message was powerful.
It's not the right thing to do.
His message was powerful.
Oh, nobody's saying it's right.
No, it's not the right.
That's all. No, it's not the right thing to do.
We didn't say that.
That's why I got to side with Jimmy.
They should have let him do it.
Right.
They should have let him change his jersey.
I wish the league would have let them do it, but I also think, you know, you said, yeah. I think the NBA, missed the ball on this one, dropped the ball. And then I would say, I think that's collectively the players with the NBA dropped the ball on this one. Because I think this statement, now I'm not going to sit here and say that this statement weighs more than other statements, because I think there's severity in all the statements that are being made and they're all needed. And I love that players are doing this. But once again, back to Stephen A's point, if you felt adamantly about this from the beginning, then that needs to be openly communicated, and you negotiate that into what you're asking for. And can it be amended? Potentially. I'm just saying, you then open up Pandora's box if you amend it, KP. And that's the biggest challenge about this, because then you can have everybody coming out of the woods saying that this means something to me, this means something to me. And if you're going to do it for him, how come you can't do it for me? And that's the problem.
Yeah, okay. I'll leave it on this. I do believe, we know the players' hearts are in the right place, but I believe NBA brass, and maybe I'm being naive, their heart is also in the right place when we're talking about a Michelle Roberts and Adam Silver. And I think they've proven that, even with how they've handled COVID and the bubble as well, in addition to the social injustice that we're continuing to fight for.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
to college football we go. A group of football players from the Pac-12, including Oregon star safety Javon Holland, are threatening to opt out of the upcoming season if certain demands are not met, as posted in a statement on the Players Tribune website and social media. Some of the demands include allowing students to opt out during the pandemic without eligibility loss or a spot on the team, creating a task force to address social injustice issues, directing 2% of the conference revenue to support financial aid for low-income Black students, and eliminating excessive expenditures with administrators and coaches reducing pay. Keyshawn Johnson had this reaction on Sunday morning on ESPN Radio.
I love it. I love every bit of it. I hope something comes of it. You make people aware of certain things, and people react different. You push back, people react different. When you say nothing and you sit and you become a mute, guess what? Nothing ever happens. No one responds. But the fact of the matter is, it's just not about the unjust. It's about all. It's just not about the minorities. It's about all athletes. And that's the beauty of it. Now, I'm sure some politician will come along and try to hijack it and turn it into something for his own agenda. But I like that. Whoever it is that's behind this is fighting for the players, and the players are fighting for themselves.
All right, the man who I defer to on all things college football, the mouth of the South. Not just the mouth of the South, though. Really the mouth of the whole country regarding college football, and we're talking out west of the Pac-12 now. Paul Feinbaum with us, Jay Will back. Paul, let me ask you this. What does this mean for the college football season? It just seems like, for lack of a better word, the hits just keep on coming here.
Yeah, I mean, college football is playing a game of Russian roulette right now, Molly, and they're not down to many bullets, and this was a significant moment because there is a great fear across the country. It's not only out in on the West Coast that college football isn't safe right now. I have heard, and I've shared with you occasionally, various reports from campuses where they've had 40, 50 players testing positive. The universities are not being transparent. We hear from some that have tested hundreds of people and have one or two positive tests. We've seen some programs shut down. But I want to share something before we get too deep into this that I just saw. Caleb Farley is one of the top cornerbacks in the country. He played at Virginia Tech. He's a projected first-round pick. And the other day, he opted out of the season, and he wrote an article on Pro Football Talk, and he said, without testing and wearing masks, I didn't feel safe at practice. He said that a couple of weeks ago, everybody on the team, or most everybody, went down to Myrtle Beach, which isn't too far from the campus, to take a weekend off, and they came back without being tested. He said, we're all together, working out, close to each other. You have no real idea who might have it, if anybody has it. We're 100 deep, and nobody is wearing masks, and that's the culture right now in college football.
Well, listen, I definitely support what the players are doing. I definitely think that the players have to stand up and take a position. I think, Paul, you've been absolutely on the money for weeks when you've said college football is devoid of leadership. You basically got the Big Five commissioners basically running, you know, the money-making portion of the sport, basically. But outside of that, it is what it is. They're in a position to make demands right now. Everybody's trying to capitalize on the moment that we're living in, where you see white America and beyond portraying or verbalizing their mea culpas to some degree, needing to listen more, needing to understand that you've been exploiting the athlete for far too long. You hear all of these different kind of issues. So this is what this breeds from, and I can see these folks taking this position, and I applaud them, and I understand it. And if anybody's justified as doing so, it's the college athlete that plays at the college football player that plays at a big time program, because we all know that there needs to be some level of compensation beyond the scholarship that's forwarded in their direction, and that hasn't necessarily been the case. I just don't know what this will amount to be quite honest with you, because they can make these demands, but as we continue to try to figure out what to do next, where to go, and college football is just as lost as anybody, if not more so, I don't know what ultimately will be accomplished. It's a good try on their part. How successful it's going to be remains to be seen. I'm doubtful about it.
You know why you're doubtful about it, Stephen A? Because athletes are prohibited from securing representation to actually enhance
Absolutely.
Their voice while they're being asked to sign liability waivers to participate on college campuses. Paul Feinbaum, that story that you just told me, that is atrocious. That makes me sick to my stomach. And look, I understand the value that schools bring educationally, and I understand how students who have student loans can sit there and say, well, you know, I had to pay back my student loans and these athletes should be grateful. That is no longer the case. And what I like about what just happened is these athletes are firmly putting their feet in the ground and they're saying, here's my term sheet. Let's start negotiations. You may think 50-50 revenue share split is absurd, but it's a starting point. You may think 6 years extended of healthcare benefits are absurd, but it's a starting point. And all these things that they're asking for, the one thing that I recognized my last year in school, and I wasn't strong enough at that time to own my own voice, and because I had a great experience at Duke, but during a pandemic, in the midst of chaos, brings incredible opportunity. And these players understand that right now, if it wasn't for their labor, a lot of these conferences and schools wouldn't be able to survive. And if there's a beautiful time to do it, I don't know how they sustain it. I don't know how they aggregate somebody to continue to be their voice and articulate these things on their behalf to fight for it consistently because they're prohibited from doing that. But they can find some way to sustain it. This is gonna change the whole game, Paul. Just not in college football, college basketball too. It could be a different game by the time we get to 2021.
Go ahead, Paul.
Well, I totally agree, Jay. And here's the problem. We all know what's going on here. And I don't want to upset anyone who holds it dear to their heart that college football is pure, but it's not. This is about money, which is fine.
We're all
in business together. We're all trying to make ends meet. But there was an article the other day, guys, in the Washington Post that had, it was a player that taped a conversation in the SEC with all of the various people that were involved, including the commissioner and medical personnel. And someone on the call, it was an administrator, told the group, the main reason we're bringing students back is to have college football. So figure it out for yourself. Students are being brought back to campus so they can get the tuition, so they can have college football, because it's very difficult not to have a single student on campus and say, we're going to have a season. This is a billion-dollar industry.
Yeah.
We all profit from it, including myself. I don't want to act naive here. But are these players being taken care of? No, they're not. They are, as many have said, they're lab rats, and they're being exposed to who knows what. And the other argument, Molly, can be, well, they're young people. They're not going to get sick. How do we know that? Nobody knows that. Nobody knows anything about this virus, and we're 5 months into it.
And you know what's another good point, Paul, is the long-term effects of COVID-19 are extremely alarming. Mm-hmm. There's a laundry list of after effects and symptoms that could change someone's lives forever. But, Paul, while we have you, I want to get your thoughts on something else here. Let me just read this to you. So Washington State coach Nick Rolovich told receiver Cassidy Woods, aligning with the Pac-12 player unity group would create, quote, an issue with the program. And that was according to the recording of a phone call. How's the NCAA going to react to that?
Well, I mean, this is the real problem, and Jay Will alluded to it even when he played. It's the same. You're not getting any help after all of this. We are 2 months into this conversation nationally after George Floyd, and you're still getting tone-deaf coaches saying typical college football coaching rhetoric, And that's the problem. A lot of players do not want to stand up. So I think what happened yesterday is dangerous. It puts every coach with a bullseye on his back. And you hear that type of comment, and you wonder why we're at this place. I mean, that's reprehensible. I mean, I won't waste too many more adjectives, Molly, but therein lies the problem.
Paul, can I jump real quick? I'll say, you don't think Justin Fields is listening to this? You don't think Trevor Lawrence is listening to this? And as all these players are acquiring all this data and they're seeing these coaches make these comments, Paul, you and I have had so many conversations about this. And I feel like we're watching it in real time. I feel like we're watching the NCAA become more and more dismantled by the second due to their lack of ability to put procedural things in place to protect the lives and the players' safety of these student athletes that they so much talk about. And now you're finding these individual conferences that are trying to own their power, and they're blundering on it as well. So, you know, it really makes sense for these conferences to get their stuff together and find alignment and make sure that these coaches are saying the right things and that they're actually doing all the things to protect the player's safety.
Where I'm coming from is that I understand, like Paul has highlighted,
the NCAA,
there's no real leadership. I'm sorry, Paul, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Steve Renee, you're making my point. Go ahead.
I understand there's no real leadership, but to me, when Paul says there's no real leadership in college football, that means there's not one individual overseeing the sport and basically, you know, organizing things in such a way to make sure everybody's treated fair and equitably. I totally get that part. What alarms me is that you can't even come together and find a leader that could put in place safety measures and safety protocols to ensure the well-being of the student athlete. You couldn't even do that. So it's bad enough they've been exploiting these guys all these decades, all of these years. But now, when it came to making the necessary sacrifice and coming together for the well-being of young men and women, you can't even do that.
No question. One thing I will say to wrap this up, the silver lining in all of this, though, gentlemen, is that the players do feel comfortable now using their voice. And now we'll see if the decision makers, the powers that be, want to be on the right side of history here.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The NFL has suspended free agent receiver Antonio Brown for the first 8 games of the season. The punishment stems from an allegation of sexual assault by an artist at his home in 2017, and his January arrest over an altercation with a moving truck company. Brown last played for the Patriots, as you just heard, September of 2019, but was released a week later. Lewis Riddick back here with us. Stephen A., many moons ago, Antonio Brown played for your Pittsburgh Steelers. Tell me this, would you still take a chance on Antonio Brown?
Yes, I would, because it's low risk, high reward. The fact of the matter is that this guy is a superstar talent, a minimum of 101 receptions for a minimum of 1,284 yards over 6 consecutive years. He had an 1,800-yard season 1 year, a 1,600-yard season, a 1,500-yard season, a 1,400-yard season. This brother's elite. He's one of the great, great wide receivers in the history of the National Football League. And if you are a contender and you need a receiver, this brother can go and do some special things for you on that football field. Now, you got to load your cabinet with some Advil, Tylenol, or anything that specializes in migraine headaches, because he's going to give that for you, because he gives new meaning to prima donna. We all recognize that. And obviously, he's had a very, very troubled past. There's no question. But the fact that the NFL has come down with that definitive 8-game schedule, obviously, you know, they reserve the right to, Lord knows with them, to do even more. But chances are, since they said it's an 8-game suspension, whoever picks him up, he'll be available for the 9th game of that season in all likelihood. And I think if you're a team like the Baltimore Ravens, I think you want to take a chance on him. If he was contrite and apologetic enough, I think you take a chance on him with the Pittsburgh Steelers potentially as well. They're not going
This one, I struggle with this one. Yeah, Steven, I struggle with this one. Look, his on the field. What more is there to say? He's a lock to be in Canton. They'll be making a bust of him. He'll be up there with the greats because he's one of the greats. And he's one of the great success stories in the NFL as far as being a self-made guy, someone who earned his way, someone who in Pittsburgh, the coaches there told me, unquestionably the hardest worker. He puts in the time. He's dedicated to his craft, and it shows on the field. You can't stop him. You can't cover him. He's that good. The question becomes, look, in this environment in particular, trust is really going to be what it's all about in 2020. It's that way every year in the NFL when it comes to really separating the average from the good and the good from the great teams. It usually comes down to trust, obviously, and availability, and they kind of go hand in hand. And that's what it comes down to with Antonio. It's not really even about the money. We all know that the money is going to be minimal to nothing in terms of guaranteed money. It's all going to be highly incentivized. It's going to be, as Andrew Brandt likes to say, pay as you go. That's how he's going to be compensated this year. But it's about trust. It's about, is he going to be there? Okay, let's just say that there wasn't an issue of COVID. If that wasn't an issue in 2020, it's still going to be about, is he going to do the right things and be available for my football team? Because when he does, he makes us a contender, or he makes us demonstrably better. When he's not, it not only affects the wide receiver room and affects the offense, it can affect the team overall. It just has a negative pull on the team. And this is not me saying that Antonio doesn't deserve another chance. I guess the best way for me to answer this would be this. Depending upon where my team was in my program build out, it would really, that would factor heavily into whether or not he would be someone that I'd want to bring on to my football team. And on top of it, I think it's going to be out of the GM's hands in many cases anyway. This is going to be an ownership-driven decision as far as where he goes next and whether or not they're willing to assume the risk. But on the football field, I mean, come on. We could sit here and we could talk ad nauseum about his talents on the field. He's that good, and it's not hyperbole. He's that good. He's that guy that you can't stop, and he proved that everywhere he's been, whether it be in Pittsburgh, the short time he was on the practice field in Oakland, and the time that he played down in Miami when he was with the New England Patriots. He's that good. It's just, can you trust him? And as his former coach Mike Tomlin said,
well, you can't,
one fail, we all fail. Obviously, he's talking about one failed test can make our whole, can compromise our whole football team. But it's just, it's that kind of environment. That, those are the characteristics. Those are the those are the rules that we're playing by this year, more so than any other year.
Well, let me be very clear. You can't trust him. You can't trust him. Somebody that is that temperamental, somebody that has seen on social media doing some of the things that he's done, even with law enforcement officials, somebody, you know, when he was videoing him and all of that other stuff, somebody that approached Mike Mayock the way that he did and spoke to him the way that he did, somebody who was as truculent as they come when it came with Mayock, when it came with Big Ben Roethlisberger and others, knowing that Mike Tomlin's your coach, of course you can't trust him. But often I've asked this question, although facetiously, Louis, I've asked this question. Damn it, if you a coach, what's your job? Work around it. You ain't playing. Do something. It ain't your job just to call your plays. It's your job to run your team and to run your program. And everybody on it is not going to be a choir boy. This is an elite talent who's obviously has had his struggles, and he's on the tail end. It's low risk. He is in no position to walk to anybody and make any kind of demands at all. And so if you are an NFL team, that bodes well for you, particularly a team like the Ravens with a young, strong-headed dude like Lamar Jackson, who's absolutely electrifying. And even though he's got some decent talent with him, could you imagine if you were compromising a secondary because you're worried about having to spy on Lamar Jackson, and then on top of that you add Antonio Brown to that lineup, to that wide receiving corps? My God, it could win you a Super Bowl. It could win you a Super Bowl. It's the chance worth taking.
Guys, let me get in one more topic real quick here before we run out of time. Last week, Aaron Rodgers alluded to the fact that he might not be finishing his career in Green Bay when discussing his franchise, choosing Jordan Love with their first-round draft pick. His head coach, Matt LaFleur, was asked how he's handling the QB speculation. Take a listen.
Right now, most importantly, Aaron's our quarterback, and I see him here for a really long time. And however long that is, I don't think anybody knows. Nothing's guaranteed in this league. But I feel so lucky to be able to work with him on a daily basis. And, you know, I don't see that changing for a really long time.
Stephen A., talk to me. Should Rodgers regret this hire of Matt LaFleur?
Hell yeah, he should. Listen, LaFleur can coach, and I think he had a successful year last year. We can't deny that. But considering all the needs that they have on that Green Bay Packers roster, you going to draft a backup quarterback to Aaron Rodgers, who still believes he has several years to go in his illustrious career? This is not a man that's there to support him. And he used the operative word, Lewis, very slick. He said, right now, right now. That's how he started off. Everything else he said goes right out the window, ladies and gentlemen. He said right now. So right now, this is our quarterback. But obviously, we brought somebody on board so we can look forward to moving on. LaFleur's a part of that. I don't believe anything that they're saying in regards to Aaron Rodgers right now. I think it's an absolute insult. I got nothing but love for Jordan Love, but considering all the needs you have on Green Bay, to draft a backup to Aaron Rodgers as your number one selection, they can't tell me anything.
Yeah, I don't think he should regret the hiring of Matt LaFleur. I think what this really is about, and I only say it because of this. Look, Brian Gutekunst, the GM, he's driving the bus up there. Mark Murphy, the president, they're driving the bus up there. Matt LaFleur ain't doing anything. He's just kind of helping steward things along right now. But Brian is the one who really – I'm just saying, look, I'm not disagreeing with you, and I'm going to say this, though, Stephen. I'm going to say this about Matt LaFleur. Less is more as far as Matt's concerned when he's talking about Aaron. Less is more. He shouldn't even have said this because he contradicted himself immediately. You know, I look forward to, you know, seeing Aaron here a long time, although we don't really know what the future holds. I mean, it's just
Please.
Like, don't even talk about it, man. Just let it go. Just let it go.
All right. Lou, thanks for holding us down
just
today.
Just for that, Molly.
Versus Zion
he deserves
tonight.
Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just for that, he deserves to be called Matt LaFleur.
Troublemaker, Mr. Smith, as always. Bye, guys.